Hi, I'm Alois Bunjira, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Z.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
The Odyssey, that is World Sport, continues this Tuesday. Top Hit Tuesday on your favorite sports show. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. In the studio, a crackerjack team of pundits. Chris Midzi, Barry Manandi. My name is Mike Madoda. Hopefully a bit later on, we should be joined by Alois Bunjira, the former Warriors International and the man behind the desk. Making everything tick is our producer, Sean Tafirinyika. What's on the menu? On the home front, a Zimbabwe women's cricket team continued their rich vein of form ahead of the T20 World Cup qualifiers as they wrapped up a quadrangular warm-up series with their third win on the spin following a 3-wicket victory over Thailand in the United Arab Emirates this morning. Being a Tuesday, we have our Formula One report proudly brought to you by Zimoko, and Formula One safety car rules will be discussed by teams at the governing body after the final anticlimactic laps of Sunday's Italian Grand Prix revived memories of last year's controversial Abu Dhabi title decider. We'll also take you around the world in 60 with updates from the US, South Africa, as well as Argentina.
In the beautiful game, being a Tuesday, we'll kick off in France, where Marseille coach Hugo Tudor is pleased with the continued improvement of his side after Alexis Sanchez scored again as Marseille came from behind to beat Lille 2-1 and stay level on points with leaders Paris Saint-Germain. Match day 2 beckons in the UEFA Champions League, and Bayern Munich coach Julian Nagelsmann will only decide shortly before the game which central defenders will face Barcelona striker Robert Lewandowski as he returns to Munich for their Group C match tonight. And Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has said the Reds know they need to show a reaction when they take on Ajax after they produced what he labeled the worst game in his managerial tenure against Napoli last week.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Let's give you local sports news, and we're going to be starting off with some Castle Lager Premier Soccer League news. Chicken and snapped their 2-game losing streak by edging Manica Diamonds 1-0 away at Vengere Stadium in the final game of match day 27. Leroy Munashepini scored the only goal of the contest in the 14th minute. The win leaves the Gamecocks in third position on the log with 48 points, which is 10 points behind leaders FC Platinum. Head over to some basketball news. Following the Bulawayo Basketball Association annual general meeting held at the weekend, it was resolved that the new league season will commence on the 7th of October. The preseason tournament, which serves as a tune-up event, will be played next Friday. The BBA Secretary General Francis Dube said the association had managed to add to the number of teams that will be part of the league this season. Finish off with some beach volleyball news, where Zimbabwe Volleyball Association Secretary General Kenneth Kondo has commended the national team's performance at the just ended fifth leg of the Zone 6 beach volleyball that was hosted in the country. 22 athletes from Zimbabwe, Botswana and Mozambique converged in Darwindale for the tournament at the weekend. This was the first time Zimbabwe hosted the ongoing zonal series, which is aimed at growing the sport in the region. Zimbabwe secured a silver and a bronze medal. Mozambique secured 2 gold, while Botswana had 1 silver and 2 bronze medals.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Let's talk cricket, and as the Zimbabwe women's cricket team continued with the rich vein of form ahead of the T20 World Cup qualifiers as they wrapped up a quadrangular warm-up series with their third win on the spin following a 3-wicket victory over Thailand in the United Arab Emirates this morning. The quadrangular series with Thailand, the United States of America, and the host was part of the Lady Chevron's final preparatory matches ahead of the T20 Global Qualifying Tournament, which begins on a Sunday. Let's recap that third quadrangular match versus Thailand. Thailand 102 for 5. And I'm going to try my best to pronounce some of the names that are coming up here. Nanapat Koncharongkai made 28. Chanida Suturang made 24. And then the pick of the bowlers for the Lady Chevrons was Nomvelo Sibanda, 2 for 14. Zimbabwe in reply at a canter somewhat, but losing a lot of wickets, 106 for 7 in 18.4 overs. Sean Myers 48, Chipo Mugeri Tiripano 28, Sunuda Chaturongratana picking up 2 for 9, and Onicha Kamchompu taking 2 for 24. We will restrict our discussion to the Zimbabwean players, because none of us are going to be able to pronounce any of those names, okay? We are done with Thailand. But anyway, let's hear from Sean Myers, who was named player of the match.
Fantastic. It's always nice to score runs for the team. And, you know, after being rested for a bit, it's always nice to get out there and play with everyone. It doesn't matter what the total is. You always want to go according to what's needed. Right. If you try and hit a six off the first ball, more than likely you'll get your stumps knocked over. So what you want to do is play each ball on its merit. You want to try and rotate strike. In the power play, you want to look for boundaries, but you want to hit the ball hard, whatever you do, and play risk-free cricket. So that was my plan, and it's always my plan. We are just building on strength to strength. We've got used to the conditions, and knowing our strengths in these areas, seeing where all the other teams are, and, you know, executing our plans. So, you know, onwards and upwards. Everybody knows what's at stake. So everybody knows the hard work that everyone has put in. So we just want to go out there and take each game as it comes. We don't want to think too far ahead. And, you know, just one game at a time, because that's what really matters.
And now, before this particular quadrangular series, Zimbabwe had successful tours to Namibia and South Africa, where they beat the host. The tour to South Africa was against South Africa Emerging Women. In July, the team had a training camp in India where they played various club sides. And Zimbabwe, I think, Chris, if you take a look at the results in this particular series, this quadrangular tournament they've just played in, I think they are reaping the rewards of preparing well, getting a lot of valuable game time against all manner of opposition. Sean Myers shining in this particular match. Of course, she was handy with the bat, making that a 48. But she's not the only one, because they've got a number of experienced players in that squad that should stand Zimbabwe in good stead ahead of the qualifying tournament.
Yeah, and I think when you take a look at the squad makeup, what's especially important for me is that balance that they've managed to achieve between your younger up-and-coming players who are performing well, but also your experienced players like Captain Marianne Musonda. She's going to be leading the Lady Chevrons at the ICC Women's T20 World Cup qualifier. And then you've also got the names that we know for a long time, Josephine Komo, Modesta Mpachikwa. They were playing club cricket in England. They've been included in the squad of 15 for that qualifier
as well. Let's talk about that, Chris, now that you mentioned, I mean, that we've got a couple of players who have been, of course, exposed to a higher level of competition playing club cricket in England. Sean Myers, another one as well.
Yeah, she was playing out in South Africa, and we can see what impact that sort of exposure has. So now we've got players across in England, we've got players in South Africa, and I think we're going to get more of a spread as Zimbabwe cricket, I think, makes more strides in terms of the women's game. We've also got, I think for me, bright shoots, Kelise Ndlovu. She's 16 years old, absolutely amazing, and I think some nurturing really needs to be done there. That's a talent that we can't afford to just, you know, let go by the the wayside, and she plays as and when she can. Also, Francisca Chipare, they made their T20 international debuts on the tour to Namibia recently. So when you take a look at that squad makeup, incredible balance, experienced players, players getting exposure, but also the green shoots who are playing while getting some much needed exposure, so that in 4 or 5 years' time, we're not looking back and thinking, okay, what's supposed to happen with the team now? So very good blend for me.
All right, let's run through the squad for you. The captain is Mary Ann Musonda. Modesta Mpachikwa is in there. Kelly Sindlovu, Sean Myers, Josephine Nkomo, Precious Maranga, Cristobal Chatonzwa, Laureen Chuma, Lauren Piri, Nomvelo Sivanda, Esther Mbofana, Pelagia Mujaji, Audrey Majishaya, Chipo Mugeri Tibipano, one of the more experienced campaigners, and Francisca Chipare. Now, Zimbabwe coach Gary Brent says his side still has things to work on as they face Scotland on Friday in their final preparatory match.
The girls have played well. I mean, we won, you know, we won all our games, which is great. But we've seen glimpses of us at our best, but that's it. So we still got a lot of work to do. We certainly going in the right direction. The girls are playing some decent cricket, but there's certainly areas that we still need to have a look at and improve on. We are very, very happy with the results. So the weather is very, very hot, and the girls have just taken it in their stride. We did chat about it, and the girls have been really good about it. And they've just come out and played cricket the way they wanted to play, which is very pleasing. And so I'm very happy for them.
Gary Brent, the coach of the national side, and very at international level, we know that talent alone isn't enough. It's not about the players, it's also about the brains trust.
Yep.
Who prepare the athletes, and then more often than not, who are also responsible for drawing up the tactics that will be used game by game, and sometimes, to be honest, over by over.
Yeah.
Gary Brent doing a decent job with the Lady Chevrons, and it's given a hope to these lady cricketers that they may actually make their way to the World Cup, but it's not going to be easy because the qualification path is a very interesting one.
It's an interesting one indeed, I just laughed because you said we're done with Thailand. No, we're not, Michael, because we're in Group B in the qualifier with Thailand, Papua New Guinea, and the UAE. So that's our group, and then obviously in Group A you've got Bangladesh, Ireland, Scotland, and the United States of America. Now here's where it gets interesting. The group games will take place from Sunday. After the group stage, the top two teams from each group will clash in the semi-finals.
So what are our chances, Barry, when you take a look at that group, Group B? We have to finish minimum top two.
Yeah, 100%. We have to finish top two.
Are we in the top two? We've just beaten Ireland. So I fancy our chances. But you know what? Everything even. If we play to the best of our ability, and I don't think we actually play to the best of our ability in this game versus Thailand.
Sure, 100%.
I think if we step it up a couple of gears, I think we can put Thailand to the sword.
Yeah.
Can we then beat either or to finish in the top two?
Well, we've beaten the
Papua
UAE. We've got a very good chance of finishing in the top two at a bare minimum. What we'd want to do is finish top so that we play the second place team out of Group A, which will probably be the lighter weight team, and that will almost guarantee a final berth.
So the target is to get to the final.
Yes.
That ensures World Cup qualification. But look at that group there, Barry. Bangladesh, Ireland, Scotland, and the United States.
Mate.
It's not going to be easy.
It's not. So you then hope for an upset in one of those games, because let's say you know, you probably think to yourself that Bangladesh, Scotland, those are probably the strongest teams in that group. So if Ireland and USA pull off an upset against any one of those two, then there's a good chance that either one of them could finish second. We still have to do our business and finish first. So a lot of permutations, but take it game by game, like you said Gary Brent is doing, and then we'll see what happens. But we win our semi-final, we're through to the World Cup. That's the important thing. And then the final, if we win the final, that's just a bonus, isn't it? But ultimately, we need to get to that final.
All right. We usually talk about the Chevrons. This time we're talking about the Lady Chevrons. And we want to hear from you, your messages of support. And or what do you think about their chances of qualifying for the T20 World Cup? 0731 168 045, that's the number. 0731 168 045. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, where you can follow and interact with at ZFM Sport. Coming up, we've got a quick commercial break, and then we return with the Zimoko Formula One report. Don't forget, we'll be taking you around the world in 60 a bit later on with more international sports news. And then the second half of the show, the beautiful game, is all about the Champions League, which is headlined by Lewandowski's return to Bavaria as Barcelona visit the Allianz Arena to take on Bayern Munich.
International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. From sunny Melbourne to the streets of Monaco, the deserts of Bahrain to the jungles of Brazil, get up to speed on the Formula One Report. The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zimoco, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zimoco, specialized service for special brands.
So lately we've been inundating you with fun facts coming out of Zimoco. Today is no different. Did you know that Formula One cars do not have airbags, unlike conventional cars? These race machines have advanced driver safety features like the helmet and neck protection units. I think you see them, remove them at the end of a race. They have a five-point harness seatbelt and the incredibly strong survival cell that surrounds the driver. That's including, of course, the halo that surrounds the driver. And considering the speeds most Formula One cars can achieve, an airbag will simply not be able to deploy in time to provide ample driver protection.
Now, for us regular road goers, in car safety is very important, and the single most important thing that any vehicle user can do is to wear their seatbelt. That means wear it over you, not strap it into the seat behind you.
It's not an option, it's a must.
It's an absolute must. Seatbelts are designed to keep a vehicle's occupant in place during an accident by reducing the body's movement and anchoring the strongest part of our bodies. So the anchoring actually reduces your body's forward momentum, which allows for the car's other safety equipment such as airbags, crumple zones, and side impact bars to perform their function properly and try to minimize injuries. Road safety starts with you. Seat belts save lives. Whether it's you, whether it's people in the passenger seat, wear your seat belt. Stay tuned to ZFM Sport for more.
Right, let's go into Formula One now, where the safety car rules will be discussed by teams and the governing body after the final anticlimactic collapse of Sunday's Italian Grand Prix revived memories of last year's controversial Abu Dhabi title decider. Well, champion Max Verstappen won then and now, but the irony at Monza was that his Red Bull team were the ones sounding off about how the race ended, while previously aggrieved Mercedes defended officials. This time, unlike December's race in Abu Dhabi, the FIA followed the rules and the fans still piled in with booing and jeers from Ferrari's home crowd. Formula One pundit Ben Anderson says there is no need for rule changes and fans should accept that some races may end under the safety car.
Well, everyone wants to see a racing finish, but I don't really see what all the fuss is about here. The safety car isn't deployed to make the races more exciting. That's a happy accident that you sometimes get from those situations. The point of the safety car is to protect the field, and particularly the marshals, while an incident's being sorted out. And sometimes you just run out of time. You can't create a protocol for every situation that works. In this situation, if you try to have a restart with one lap to go, two laps to go, it's a very drawn out procedure. The race is almost over. In the case of Monza, you know, the race was a damp squib anyway. Verstappen was running away with it. I get that everybody wants to have excitement and a rich experience of spectacle, but you can't always have lobster thermidor, roast lamb, wine on tap. Sometimes a bit of boring plain bread is just what the constitution needs.
Well, Barry, here's a funny thing. We've just talked about Mercedes. Yeah. We're the ones defending officials this time. We've got Red Bull not happy with how things are. It seems to me that people generally are guided by their own selfish and personal interests, just depending on where they are at that moment in the race. They want what's best for their team.
Yeah, but that's humanity, really, isn't it? More so than Formula One. But I think that as long as the rules are applied, anyone can grumble and moan and whatnot, but the rules were applied. And in truth, yes, we're going to have to see some races that end under a safety car. I think that Michael Massey...
But that was rubbish, wasn't it?
It was. I mean,
As a spectacle.
As a spectacle, it was terrible. But here's the deal, guys. Had we taken any sort of initiative, like let's say, okay, red flag the race, everybody goes into the pit lane, we clear the track, and then have a standing start, Red Bull would have been up in arms because Verstappen was over the hills and far away ahead of the rest of the field. So
he had a far superior car. I don't think you'd have felt threatened by anyone following him.
Let's say because
his car was absolutely magnificent.
Let's say somebody made a tactical and equipment tweak. Let's say, for instance, put softs on and all of a sudden
everyone did that, and because everyone came in, which is the next point I want to discuss with you, Chris, that this whole business of safety car on and then people are allowed to come into the pit.
They're caught out to change that.
It means that, you know what, all of a sudden it negates all the tactical thinking and the strategies that have gone on leading up to that moment.
Yeah.
And for me, that's not good. I think you should stay on the track the way you were. The
tires
that you had.
Also, pitching not allowed.
Unfortunately, what happens, especially I think with Formula One rules, especially when it comes to things like this, is that when there's any attempt to change the rules, there's no agreement among the teams. So some teams will say absolutely yes, no one should be able to do this under a safety car, and other teams will say no, we want to be able to do this under a safety car. And unfortunately, it just depends on where exactly in the race you were at the time, which is unfortunate for the race leader, because now everybody else is gaining advantages. Meanwhile, you've done the hard yards to ensure that you're leading the pack. So it's incredibly unfortunate, but I want to make a confession that I low-key agree with Loki with the way Michael Massey ended that race.
Thank you, Chris. You've
the
seen the light.
The ending of this race was absolute nonsense.
It is
ridiculous.
I'm telling you,
for his defense, when he said, you know what, we still need the spectacle.
Yes.
Okay, that's I'll complete.
Massey was the victim, guys, of just people grumbling.
The Mercedes lobby.
Yes.
And I agreed, the Mercedes lobby was very strong. However, guys, as a one who prefers that we stick to the rules, I think if we end under safety car, so be it. There's less arguments. The arguments in the studio are less than after Abu Dhabi 2022.
Messages come 21. Through here from David Bondera out in Motare. He says there's nothing wrong with advantages being wiped out because of an incident. That's motor racing. So it enriches the spectacle.
And the experience as well.
However,
so pretty much like what Massey did.
Yes, Massey.
It enriches the spectacle because, guys, the fans were booing. Everyone on social media was not happy.
I think the only thing with Massey, though, was the fact that he initially said one thing
and then changed.
I think that was more the issue. Yes. But the fact that he wanted a spectacle...
As new information becomes available.
There are times when even in football, there's a time when a referee, it is on prerogative, like, no, I can't blow this out. It will spoil the game.
Like,
let's get on with it.
Alois, I want to ask you this though, in terms of just what would you have preferred?
The ending.
The ending.
I wanted a spectacle. They were supposed to race. I wanted a race.
They couldn't race safely. They couldn't race safely. Do we go to a standing start?
So would this be a problem? Everyone into the pits. Get the car off the track.
How do we start? What's the restart?
And then we troop
what's
up.
A rolling start.
We troop up because at the end of the day, everyone's going to be bunched up anyway because of the safety car.
Of course.
So everyone just gets out of the pit according to the position you were in.
And then we go.
We'd never finish the race.
What do you mean we'd never finish the race?
We'd lapse the 2 hours. Because every time there's an incident on track.
So here we go. Are we getting to that point, Chris, where
it's television that's ultimately dictating some of these things. Because Barry's talking about we're never going to finish the race. It's an important consideration because they've got a certain time span that they've got
they
on live
to
TV.
I think TV's been running the show across sport for a long time, and it's going to continue to do so because there's nothing else that will give you the visibility. Not even the digital platforms will give you the kind of visibility or the money that the TV guys can.
All right, let's take a look at the latest standings ahead of the next race, which is on the 2nd of October. That's the Singapore Grand Prix, as of course we go on that Asian swing. Max Verstappen is leading the way, 335. It's all but done in that race for the championship, unless something disastrous happens. Charles Leclerc is in second. Sergio Perez of Red Bull is in third. George Russell is fourth. Carlos Sainz is fifth. And Lewis Hamilton is in sixth. The constructors' standings, Red Bull, they've got a 141 point lead over Ferrari. They've got 545 in first place. Ferrari 406. Mercedes is third with 371. Alpine is fourth. And McLaren is in fifth place.
Stay right where you are. Move to the groove of the nation.
Now, road safety, children. We're talking safety here. Road safety involves several contributing factors, including routine car maintenance, to keep key systems like brakes, tires, and suspension in proper working condition. With safety in mind, Zamoko prides itself in offering vehicles such as the Haval H6 and the newly announced Haval H6 HEV and H6 GT, which have all been awarded a 5-star safety rating, the highest rating that can be achieved in any crash category.
Now, through its workshop and service departments, Zamoko also ensures that any safety-related concerns are raised during all routine services and provides solutions to make your car safer. In the unfortunate case that your car is involved in an accident, Zamoko has a body repair center with modern equipment to fix any make and model of the vehicle and return it to its original condition. Zamoko cares about your vehicle and your safety. Visit our website, that's zamoko.co.zw, for more information on services and brands we offer. Alternatively, email Zamoko at inquiries@zamoko.co.zw. Zamoko, specialized service for special brands.
The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zamoko, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zamoko, specialized service for special brands.
Hi, you're listening to ZFM Sport. My name's Graham Sharp, and I'm the first Zimbabwean to take on the Dakar Rally in a bike.
See.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We take off in the United States, where former Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, a.k.a. Mr. Sierra, was booed and beaten on his return to Seattle as his Denver Broncos side suffered a 17-16 defeat to close out week one of the new NFL season. Wilson, who spent the first 10 seasons of his NFL career in Seattle, winning them a Super Bowl in the 2013 season, sought a trade from the Seahawks this offseason and ultimately joined Denver in March. Head over to South Africa, where Cricket South Africa has announced men's head coach Mark Boucher will step down from his role at the conclusion of the T20 World Cup in Australia. He took over South Africa's men's side in 2019 and has helped lead the side to some memorable victories, including a 2-1 test series win over India earlier this year. Before heading to the World Cup, Boucher's last series will be a white ball tour of India from the 28th of September. Let's finish off with some news from Argentina, where the Springboks are preparing for their rugby championship encounter against the host this weekend. South Africa assistant coach Dion Davids maintained that their focus remains on the clash, despite the latest Elton Yanchi's storm to engulf the national team. Oh. Fly half Yanchi's and team dietitian Zinat Simji were both sent home from Argentina after reports emerged of an alleged affair in Bombela. The incident is said to have taken place in the week of South Africa's clash with New Zealand, which the Springboks 1-26-10. A little bit scandalous.
Oh. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
All right, Denzel out in Mukoba in Gweru says, hi guys, Zanzi, you're the best producer programmers on earth. And he goes and say hi to Chris.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
Another one.
Hi. And Zuri Boyer.
Hey, where's Lil Big?
Another one.
Where's Lil Big?
Yeah, where's Lil Big? Lil Big, homie.
I think we just said the number.
I'm happy the stock of the lady chevrons is rising. And it just seems, Chris, that Zimbabwe cricket is on the rise.
Yeah, Zimbabwe cricket is putting the right people in the right places, and they're ensuring that the talent that they have, and also I think because they've started that grassroots program as well, I think we're going to be seeing some very cool things coming out of Zimbabwe cricket. And I think that's all we've ever asked for from our sporting associations, yeah, to just do things the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Farai from Bulawayo has got in touch. There's Anzita in my pinna, guys. Extend the race by 3 laps if the last lap is under a safety car. What are your thoughts on that one, Dan?
I like that suggestion.
Sounds good.
It's a little more consistent and can be applied easily across all scenarios. So I like that suggestion. I doubt it will be suggested in that big meeting that's going to take place.
Right. If you want to be like Farai and company, we've been sending their messages, 0731 168 045. What are your predictions as well? The big game out in Europe this evening is Barcelona taking on Bayern Munich in Germany. Liverpool also hosts the Ajax of Amsterdam at Anfield. Can Klopp's Reds bounce back? Send us your predictions, 0731 168 045. Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sport. Via Hung from Norton says Visca Elbasan's Nas Bayern Inoita Mutakura. So very confident. And
I think I know why though.
Why?
There's a journalist, I think she's Spanish or something, who said that she'll walk across the pitch naked if Barcelona win the game.
Ooh, if Visca Barca!
Wow. Some people want to watch.
Well,
who want to watch the lady more than the game?
Yeah, very, very, very interesting this one. And now we're thinking to ourselves, okay, Barca should definitely win this one. Vinti Ngueru says, good evening, guys. The Lady Chevrons are doing so well and quite promising. Love the expression of opposition team names, although can't remember any of them. Well, listen, you wouldn't want to be doing the commentary on those guys, like we said. More messages coming in. Guys, how are you doing? I asked a question last night, but I guess it was too late. Please confirm for me that Tino Kadewere is not the first Zimbo to play in La Liga. Alois, please confirm. Liberty in Glodina Park. Tino Kadewere, first Zimbo to play in La Liga?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's your confirmation.
He is the first Zimbabwean.
But not the first Zimbabwean to play in the Spanish league.
Not in Spain.
In the Spanish league.
In the Spanish league. That was Redendo Makore. That was a woman.
In Spanish league, yes. But in La Liga, it's Tino Kadewere.
Yeah, exactly.
But he hasn't played anyway. He's now injured.
He's now injured.
So he might not.
It's so sad.
It's really sad. He might not be the first one because he's not going to kick a ball anytime soon.
If he gets an operation, he may only be back around about January, which is guess what, transfer window. Yeah, so.
I don't understand this message here. It's from El Boca in Yazura. You're certainly raving about the slight progress that has been made by Jose Brito since his arrival at Barcelona. Just because he once worked with Mourinho, but come next season he'll be exposed, especially if he fails to improve his current squad, because there is no real talent out there. But you know what, when you talk about slight, I think let's just go to the stats. You know, the stats are a wonderful thing, because I think Jose Brito came to Highlanders at a time when they were in 14th position. Okay, so they have improved their position by 10 places.
Yeah, they were flirting with relegation.
Is that slight?
Absolutely not.
It's not slight.
Absolutely not.
They are unbeaten in 7 matches right now.
Yeah.
Is that slight?
No.
I don't think so. Right. They've broken their away hoodoo.
Yes, Narare.
The first time to win on the road in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is that slight?
No, not slight.
I don't think so. And when you go to the form table, you know, because the form table is a very interesting thing, because I think it always speaks a lot. In the last 5 matches, there are 3 teams on top of the form table. Dynamos, FC Platinum, and Highlanders. They've all won 11 points.
There we go, yeah.
Okay, in that period.
Mm.
Highlanders actually is the top scoring side in that period, in the last five matches.
And the only team in the top 4 that's not on that list is Chicken Inn.
Yeah.
So you've got Highlanders being part of
the teams in the upper echelon, and less so the ones in the bottom rung where they were before.
Let's go to 10 matches. 10 matches. FC Platinum 24 points. Guess who's in second?
Highlanders.
21 points.
Yeah,
from those games.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take it to 15 games because we are measuring progress.
Yeah.
And 15 games, I think, is about the time that Brito has been in charge. First place, FC Platinum, 36 points. Guess who's in second?
Highlanders
on 30 points. So I think sometimes, you know, Pamwa, I support a team. He doesn't like Highlanders.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing about, oh, because he worked with Jose Mourinho, I think that was valid for all of 5 minutes until we actually saw what he could do with the team. No one, I don't even think we've mentioned it recently that he's worked with Jose Mourinho.
And above all, Mike, the performance, when you watch, just Highlanders, watching the team play, you want to see the improvement. Yeah. Are they playing better than they used to do before? Just that.
Yeah, and I like this message from Gray, and he says, Anzi Ndini Gray Mudimbare in Highfield, Anzi Highlanders Ndio Yandinochka Ndini Mudimbare, as that team plays marvelous football.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport.
All right, being a Tuesday, we dive into France. Vive la France. France, where Marseille coach Igor Tudor is pleased with the continued improvement of his side after Alexis Sanchez scored again as Marseille came from behind to beat Lille 2-1 and stay level on points with leaders Paris Saint-Germain. Marseille have 19 points after their first 7 games in Ligue 1, and that is the highest tally in their history at this stage of the competition. So he's done the job. Fans were waiting to see what he could do after Jorge Sampaoli left Marseille. He was a very popular figure. But I think Igor Tudor has answered in the best way a coach can, with results.
Yeah, it's actually quite refreshing. You know, I'm a Marseille fan in France, by the way.
Oh, right.
You're an old football fan. Yeah. Yeah, I think Pele did the trick for me.
Right.
You know, and Boli. So I've supported Marseille ever since. But like you're saying, I think everybody thought that it was gonna go downhill, but it's done well, and Marseille are doing well, and they're actually fighting up there at the top with the Paris Saint-Germain, and I'm impressed. Well done.
Absolutely. And just talking about Igor Tudor, some of the changes he's made weren't received quite well, Chris. Like dropping Dimitri Payet, who is a very popular player.
Yeah.
But he dropped him for a good reason, that he wanted to play a particular style, and now all the fans understand.
Yeah, I think when it comes to making some of these decisions, especially if you're coming into a team where there are established favourites for the fans, you're going to meet some resistance until they start to see exactly what you were trying to do, which I think he's managed to do at this point. And I think because they're sitting in second, I don't think there's going to be a lot more whining.
And I think it's good for French football as well.
Yep.
That is the big rivalry, isn't it? You know, Marseille and PSG. Out of love, I know the Saudi Arabians went in and bought Newcastle. That's great. You know, everyone wants to be in the Premier League, but I would really love a big investor to come in.
Marseille.
They already have a phenomenal stadium. They start Velodrome, one of the best stadiums in Europe. They've already got one of the most fanatical fan bases as well. In European football, very cosmopolitan. The area where they are, a lot of Northern African immigrants, a lot of West African immigrants, and of course then the French are hardcore themselves. So they are a team with passionate support. What they don't have right now is the money to match PSG. Whilst they're keeping up with PSG at the moment, I don't think they'll go the distance. I think ultimately PSG will win the title. But what we want to see is a situation where you've got Marseille pushing PSG all the way.
It stays as tight as it can while the race lasts. And listen, good to see Marseille back where they belong, because after that Bernard Tapie affair, everybody thought Marseille could never rise again, and looks like they
are. Can I give you some breaking news?
Yeah, sure.
Manchester City footballer Benjamin Mendy has been found not guilty of one count of rape on the direction of the judge at his trial at Chester Crown Court.
Shucks, that's one hurdle.
So one hurdle. He's got about eight legs.
Is it the first one that he was found not guilty?
I think there's another one count. So there are a couple more counts.
Yeah, I think he's got about eight counts.
Ajirimo, but one is still better than
one step forward.
Let's go to the Champions League.
Hi, my name is Rune Shamba, my Warriors super striker. You're listening to ZFM Sport.
Your fixtures tonight, Liverpool take on Ajax, we'll talk about that just now. In Group B, FC Porto take on Club Brugge, while Bayer Leverkusen entertain Atletico Madrid. In Group C, Bayern Munich versus Barcelona is the headline affair. We'll preview that for you. Already kicked off, Victoria Pilsen is taking on Internazionale. In Group D, Marseille, we're talking about them just now, will take on Eintracht Frankfurt. And then Sporting Club of Portugal is taking on Tottenham Hotspur. The current score after 6 minutes in that game is currently nil all. Right, guys, let's build up into the games for tonight. Bayern Munich coach Julian Nagelsmann will only decide shortly before the game which central defenders will face Barcelona striker Robert Lewandowski as he returns to Munich for their Group C match tonight. The Poland forward, who scored 344 goals for Bayern in 375 games, stunning statistics, during his 8 years at the club, joined the Spanish side in July in a deal worth 45 million euro. Meanwhile, Barcelona coach Xavi Hernandez laughed off the notion that playing at Bayern Munich is like visiting the House of Horrors.
Well, the feelings are totally different from the last season. No, we are in a good moment. We arrive without lose any game. It's totally different. But of course, we are playing in Bayern Munich Stadium. It's very difficult. Never in the history we already win here. So this is the moment. It's a challenge for us, and let's see what happens tomorrow.
The voice there of Barcelona coach Xavi Hernandez, not fearful, as it were, Alois, of the, quote, House of Horrors at Bayern Munich. And rightfully so, the results in the Bundesliga for Bayern Munich have been a bit patchy, haven't they, at the start of the season?
Yeah, while the results have been patchy in Bayern, it's glorious in Barcelona.
Yeah.
They're doing well, honestly speaking. When you watch Barcelona play, they look like they're a mean machine.
They look like Barcelona.
Especially going forward. Yeah, so I don't see a reason why you should be afraid. And then the coach also, like, waiting for the last minute to sort out his defense to, you know, it shows that they're worried about Lewandowski, contrary to the sentiments by other people that were saying that we don't miss Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Anabas, Njani. They are scared.
Okay.
Now that guy, they are scared of their own former player.
They know what he can deliver.
They know.
And Chris, the talk in the Bayern Munich camp has been about Robert Lewandowski. I mean, there was a joke last night, I think it was Thomas Müller saying that Mane has reminded him over and over again not to pass the ball to Robert Lewandowski. He's no longer with us. But that just shows the stature of the man and who the danger man is. Sadly, this Barcelona doesn't have one route to go.
They have multiple,
yeah,
unfortunately, which is not a great thing for Bayern. And a Bayern who are still in a place of discovery almost. They're not playing badly, but I think the job for me was a bit of a jump for Nagelsmann. And I think he's still got a few key pieces missing. And I think that's what Barcelona's got now, is that key player, that gunman, which, unfortunately, Bayern Munich at the moment, the goals aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, and listen, the Sadio Mane being played in the middle is a nice idea. It hasn't quite kicked off.
Yeah, it hasn't quite kicked off. I think if you ask any defender, he's a great player, but I think he's more effective when he's coming in from that left flank.
Yeah, running at a defender.
Or from the right flank.
Exactly.
You know, because originally, everyone forgets that Sadio Mane was a right winger.
Was a right winger, exactly.
Until Jurgen Klopp converted him into a left-sided attacker. And I think he's more effective in those areas where he has space and he's able to run at the defenders, at the fullbacks and the centre-backs as well. So it's going to be very interesting, this one. The selections at centre-back or in defence, I think, for both teams are key.
Yep.
How does Barcelona as well line up against Bayern Munich? Previously, I think we've all sort of like feared that Barcelona didn't have the athleticism all the strength in defence to deal with the more physical and athletic sides in world football. So whenever Bayern Munich like played at a very high tempo, the likes of Gerard Piqué just didn't have it in their game to actually live up with that style. But now they brought in your Jules Koundé, who's a phenomenal athlete, strong boy, can pass it, is good in the air as well. And it comes down to now who is selected.
Ronald Araujo.
Araujo, I think, will play in defence. They need that athletic ability as well. So Barcelona, I think, better defensively than they have been in the last 5 or so years. So I think that sort of like evens up the match. But which way this game will go, Bayern Munich is still a very good side. And I think they go into this one as marginal favourites. But Barcelona, they've got the players in attack that if one chance comes their way, we all know what Lewandowski can do. He can stick it in the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be very, very tight.
Predictions are coming through, by the way. So
Go for it. Give it to us.
Hansi Hope, Bayern will win, but I think there will be an upset by Barcelona. The Bayern versus Barca match is an epic one. Of course, Barca will walk tall. Hi, guys. Bayern Munich 3, Barcelona 1. That is a prediction that is coming through. More predictions here. Avatar from probation stands. My goodness. Right. Okay, we won't ask where what probation came from.
Yeah.
But he's going with Bayern Munich 2 and Barcelona 1.
Yeah, so not many tipping Bayern Munich, but Bayern Munich are undefeated in 30 of their last 32 matches in the Champions League. Let's just remember that. I'm a fan of both teams, so listen, it's a no-lose game for me tonight, but I will be back.
But
I
don't want to
Alright, the other match of course is Liverpool taking on Ajax. Now Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has said the Reds know they need to show a reaction when they take on Ajax after they produced what he labelled the worst game in his managerial tenure against Napoli last week.
It was the worst game we played since I'm here, and we had a few bad games. We all know that. Everybody remembers probably Aston Villa and some others where we were just not up to speed or stuff like this, but there were always glimpses of us even in these games. In this particular game, nothing. And so then obviously you have to understand why that happens. And so, but in football it's like this, you sort all individual problems as a team, and that's the first thing we have to do, and that's to follow a common idea again, and that means everything what we did since I'm here and everything what my teams do in football is based on a really solid, if not nearly perfect, defending. And that's how where it all starts, and that's where we had to work on. That's what we did.
The voice there of Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. And the one thing we won't have at the match tonight that we can confirm, Mike, is the Champions League anthem. No Champions League anthem tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's because I think there are elements in that Champions League anthem which were sort of like sampled off one of the tracks that was actually composed for the coronation of kings in England.
Wow.
And so it's been deemed quite inappropriate to play a celebratory tune of that nature.
Yeah.
When the nation is mourning. I think all the Champions League games in England will not have the anthem.
Yeah. So that we can confirm. What we can't confirm is how they will line up. Liverpool know what they need to do, Alois, and that is win.
They need to win. You know, after coming out losers against Napoli, they need to win this one so that they can maintain, so that they can actually at least know that we finish as one of the two teams from the group. Because if they lose today, is going to be a mountain to climb, because the other teams will just be knowing how to do it, how to defend against them. You know, like they'll be playing for a draw. They know that they can sneak it.
I'm one for omen. Sorry, just to jump in.
Yeah, sure.
When Liverpool has won the Champions League, they've always struggled.
In the group
stage. If you're a Liverpool fan, I'm just hoping this is one of those teams. if you notice, whenever Liverpool does well in the dominates the Champions League, 2007, when we got to the final versus AC Milan. We should have won. We lost in the final.
We got there.
Same thing again. The game that we played and we went on to lose to Real Madrid. That both the times we've lost to Real Madrid, we've had really good tournaments.
Yes.
The one tournament that we won in recent times. Mm. Remember, we had to sneak it when Alisson made that stupendous save versus Napoli.
Yes.
And we sort of like got it going. So I'm just hoping it's hot.
Yes.
This time around, there are too many good sides in the Champions League.
And we are one of them.
Nah, this time is ice tight.
Okay. And you know what? The I think the gap has narrowed between teams, and so it makes for interesting viewing. But I still believe that Liverpool is there or thereabouts.
Besides that, eventually get to the final eight.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm just looking. Liverpool is one of them.
Liverpool is one of them. All right, we're back tomorrow.
One message. I thought this is a good message because I think this says hi, ZFM Swans. Great show. I have to say the cancellation of the EPL was a blessing in disguise. Watched many La Liga and Serie A matches, and the quality is really good. Disappointed though that the big Chelsea versus Liverpool games, but that's the point.
Yes,
too many people just watch English football.
Yes,
they don't take time to watch Italian football. Spanish football.
Opportunity.
There's a lot of quality out there.
For anyone who was watching Italian football, the Napoli result that Liverpool was succumbed to wasn't really a surprise. I'm not making excuses, I promise. Wacky Wednesdays tomorrow. Don't miss it. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Menande out.
It's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis. Right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Muddled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.